When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into another edition of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we've got the fantasy football season headed toward the home stretch. Going to help you out this weekend here on the show. Got teams off, got some injuries as well to get to. We'll get to some headlines, go through every game on the slate in the NFL this week. And Davis, great to be back with you here once again. Mixed bag for me in fantasy this year. I got one team that seems like it's in good shape, maybe heading toward the playoffs, another team where it's like I kind of got to win this week. I think a lot of people are really going to be in this position where people forget, like, a fantasy season, generally speaking, is 13 weeks. And here we are almost two-thirds of the week of the season over.
Well, it's sort of interesting. I'm in a lot of leagues, obviously, as everyone who watches Fantasy Sports Today knows. Craig, in none of my leagues, I mean, I think I'm probably in more than 15 leagues that are managed. There are no undefeated teams. There are no winless teams. I went through and looked on Wednesday night when I was doing waivers because, you know, again, I have some teams that are 4-4, some teams that are 5-3, you know, some teams that are 3-5, and none of them are dead, right? None of these teams are dead to win the league, you know, score the most points in the regular season. I think it's sort of this interesting confluence that there were a lot of teams, Devin Achane, Kyren Williams, you're like, I'm winning my league. I get 50 points a week from Devin Achane. Oh, Achane injured. Nope. Oh, you got Cooper Kupp back. You're scoring all these points. Oh, you got Jonathan Taylor back. You just found a starter. It's been a very sort of stop and start year in fantasy football is sort of the way that I would describe it. And I mean, look, we say this every single year, but I do feel like this has been a relatively chaotic year in fantasy football, honestly.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fun because I think that a lot can still be accomplished down the stretch. We also have some very big totals in the NFL this weekend, so maybe we get a lot of points. We'll see what happens as some teams are off for the bye week. But let's get to our headlines and go through some of the things because a lot happened in fantasy this week. So we'll start off with the trade deadline and really not a ton for fantasy with the exception of maybe the Vikings getting a little bit of a boost at quarterback with Kirk Cousins being out for the season as Josh Dobbs, who Davis was fairly fantasy capable, I think is fair to say, with Arizona. I mean, not the greatest weapons, but it felt like he did the best he could with what he had. Tyler Heinicke is going to start this week for the Falcons, so the Desmond Ridder experiment, I guess you could say, is over for the time being. The Raiders, Davis, made a ton of moves. Aiden O'Connell's going to start at quarterback. They fired their head coach, their GM, their offensive coordinator. And then, of course, Thursday night football, which we'll get to here in just a bit. Not a barn-burning game, to say the least. Steelers did score a late touchdown. Deontay Johnson finally scored a touchdown, by the way, on Thursday night football. And, you know, Will Levis had that one big game and the big boost. And naturally what we see in the NFL, guys come back to earth. So, I mean, listen, we could start anywhere you want here. I guess maybe we probably should start actually with the Vikings because that's a massive injury. No matter what we say about Kirk Cousins, he delivers in fantasy week after week. Is there a huge downgrade here for Jordan Addison now with Josh Dobbs? I mean, eventually I would think Justin Jefferson is going to come back. Davis, there are some fantasy owners right now that are wondering, will Jefferson come back at all if this thing goes further south. So I think that's probably the place to start.
I think that was maybe part of the reason why they did this trade for Josh Dobbs, why they went into the market for a veteran quarterback. Because if you look at the standings heading into week 9, I mean, are the Vikings going to win the Super Bowl? No, but they are 4-4. That would be, I mean, they would be in first place in the AFC South. They are drawing pretty live to that last wild card spot. So if you assume, really, the Vikings would have to, I suppose, beat out one of the Eagles, Cowboys, or 49ers to get that second wild card. Is it going to happen? No. Is it going to be mathematically probable until week 15, week 16? Yeah, I think it would be one of those things that is possible. You know, Kirk Cousins, probably not one of the top five quarterbacks you'd want to win a football game. Not a top five quarterback you'd want to start a franchise, but he's definitely a top five quarterback that you would want if you had his wide receiver in fantasy. I mean, he has sustained so many guys. If you just go look at, in Kirk Cousins' career, the list of wide receivers that he has played with, the list of wide receivers that he has made, you know, fantasy superstars, go back to his first year in Minnesota, and you're looking at unbelievable seasons from Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph, and Dalvin Cook was a running back one. So I don't really think it can be overstated how much of a downgrade it is to go to Josh Dobbs. And I, you know, Dobbs, you know, the tight ends were there. They had some decent running back games. Hollywood Brown was not like totally left for dead. Michael Wilson had a 2-touchdown game. But in general, the offense, it'll be slower. They'll run fewer plays. They will just run the ball more because Dobbs is more of a scrambler, obviously, you know, kind of averaging about 35 rushing yards per game. I think Addison goes from like weekly, you got to start him, you're laughing at your friends for letting him take him, and you know, in the 8th, 9th round, to being like, well, Josh Downs, you know, Treylon Burks before the injury on Thursday Night Football, you know, it's like kind of just in that gross sort of range. Hawkinson, I think you're going to start every single week. And then I guess you're just really hoping that Justin Jefferson elevates the whole thing when he returns.
Yeah, it's funny. Before the week began on Thursday, I was going to text you because I'm in that position with Addison, you know, and it's like I had to make the decision. Inevitably, I ended up making the right one. But Davis, my choice was Pickens or Addison. Ooh. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going with Addison. You know, I love Pickens. I think he's great. But man, like they just don't do enough with him, Davis, on the field. And by the way, you know, I know they pulled the plug with Ritter. And listen, in the end, the Steelers are probably, I don't know, the best coach team in the NFL in the last 2 decades. It's incredible how they're just always in it. And on Thursday Night Football, I mean, Kenny Pickett, despite Kenny Pickett, I think it's fair to say, ended up beating the Tennessee Titans 20-16. Pickens did nothing, so I made the right call there, no matter what the outcome is. And, you know, for Tennessee, I think they kind of know who they are and the direction. I actually am surprised now looking at this, Davis, and wondering why the Titans didn't try and trade Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, Levis may end up being very good. I've seen some really good things from him. And I certainly think that he's going to end up starting for them next year, too. But the Titans are just not good. And I'm actually surprised that they stood pat, more or less stood pat. I know they had one small trade.
I mean, probably they just weren't going to get anything. I'm sure they were like, you want DeAndre Hopkins? Okay, first round pick. Nope. All right. Well, because he's under contract for them. It's not like, you know, he'll be around. And I think there is, Craig, maybe something to be said for like, all right, we're going to give Levis the chance. We're going to let him close out the year. Maybe instead of having him throw to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore and these guys, like maybe you just let him play with a future Hall of Famer and just see how that goes. As for Henry, honestly, I think it's just kind of one of those things. Henry is like such a franchise icon. Trading him for like a third round conditional pick, it's just kind of sad, right? I mean, I would just rather see Derrick Henry bowling over guys in a Titans uniform than watching him like...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Split carries with Tony Pollard for a Cowboys team that's going to lose in the divisional round. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like stick with your franchise, I think.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry, another future Hall of Famer, you know, on that Tennessee team. So that's where they're headed. Mike Vrabel does seem like he's in it for the long haul based on a lot of the comments and probably helping make a lot of those decisions as well. All right, speaking of decisions, start or sit, coming up next. Time to make the call on some wide receivers in the NFL. Got some big teams off this week. Got to make some replacements. We're here for you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Key decisions being made. I'm sure for a lot of you with the players that we're going to discuss, this is our start-sit discussion. And make no mistake about it, around the National Football League, there are a lot of very compelling quarterback issues going on with the Rams, with the Browns, with the Cardinals, with the Vikings. I mean, there's just a lot. And so, I mean, and with the Raiders, too, and the Bears, did I miss anybody? There's just so much happening that it's literally impossible for us up until, I would say, Sunday morning, 11:30 Eastern, to absolutely know what the right call is. And by the way, the right call may be the wrong call. We're just trying to help. So, Davis, let's do our best here with the Cleveland Browns. We'll start off here. This is an impossible situation. I mean, this Deshaun Watson thing, it goes one way, it goes the next way. You know, PJ Walker, is he capable? Is he not? I mean, it's crazy to think that with the talent that Amari Cooper has, how much could be this season that is not? He has 30 receptions on the season. He has 478 receiving yards. And the number that sticks out as, let's say, a wide receiver 3/flex is one measly touchdown on the season. Davis, I know he's better than this. He's ranked as the wide receiver 40. So he's kind of like right outside that flex option. But again, Davis, we're back to bye weeks again. So I'm guessing that this is a borderline decision for some, and for others with players who are off, you just got to stick them in there and hope for the best.
Obviously, I think I would prefer to not start Amari Cooper. Particularly, we did get a report on Friday afternoon that, and look, we have heard this before, but Deshaun Watson is medically cleared to play. Doesn't necessarily mean he will play. Weirdly enough, Cooper has actually been a little bit better outside of the Tennessee game with PJ Walker. I think because PJ Walker just loves to just chuck the ball up down the field, and Cooper actually in that game against the 49ers just made an unbelievable play on the sideline. And it is sort of a bummer because I think Amari Cooper is quite talented, but I really would not want to be starting him this week. I think that this game is going to be like pretty slow, like just kind of a lot of rushing. You know, we're going to get a lot of Jerome Ford, a lot of Amari DiMercato on the other side of that game, Keontae Ingram, like probably a lot of punts. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you absolutely in 100% of circumstances have to sit Amari Cooper. I wouldn't touch him. But like, I don't know, let's say Josh Downs for the Indianapolis Colts. Let's compare him there. I think, honestly, I would just rather go Downs. This game with the total is 37.5, I believe. Like, just not very many points are going to be put on the board in that game, I don't believe.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, on the flip side, a lot of points probably coming between Miami and Kansas City. The Dolphins' offense is, if not the best in the NFL, it's right there. And as far as defensively, they've been prone to give up some points. They've done it week after week. So the question is, who do you start on the Chiefs? We obviously know Kelce. We obviously know Mahomes. Rashee Rice is now part of the conversation and probably the only capable wide receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's wide receiver 41 right now. And again, low targets, 30 receptions. He does have 3 touchdowns. 361 receiving yards on the season. And I just would love to see Mahomes just target him several times a game, Davis, and just go for broke here with this guy. I mean, the Chiefs, I don't know if Andy Reid's just trying to play tricks on us here like Halloween, but one of these years, maybe Kansas City will go out and like replace Tyreek Hill and like at the deadline get a Hopkins or get a Davante Adams, like get like a main guy. Because I mean, that's the only thing holding the Chiefs back. And by the way, it may not even. They still may win the Super Bowl without a primary receiver. But I'd love to be completely sold on Rashee Rice, but this has got to be a week that he does it to me. Like, he's got to have a big week for me to be convinced that now he's a primary target.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, Rice is just playing enough in this offense that I'm the teams where I have him, unless I have like just, you know, total slam dunk options at flex, I'm just starting him. He led Kansas City wide receivers in snaps and routes last week for the first time. He's got at least four targets in every game except for week four and week one. He did score a touchdown in week one despite only playing 20 snaps. Like, he has been... I think rightfully so. Andy Reid just looked around at his wide receiver room and said, all right, we got the, you know, MBS, he can do one thing. We got Sky Moore, he can do no things. Richie James is back off the IR this week. I think he probably is going to take some snaps away from Sky Moore. But yeah, I mean, look, you could just see it in your mind's eye. You're waking up, Sunday morning game. They're playing over there in Frankfurt, Germany. The Chiefs score 38 points because the Dolphins, you know, don't let them take the foot off the gas. And Rice has, you know, a couple deep targets, scores a red zone touchdown. I just think any guy that is going to be earning this level of targets from Mahomes just pretty much has to be in your lineup. You'd be hard. Like, what are you starting, you know, kind of your Jerry Jeudy types? Like, to me, no chance, you know, like you're just going with Rice because for the ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like I want to trust and I want to believe that in a week where Kansas City, I would say, probably scores at least three touchdowns against Miami. But it's a week-to-week thing with the Chiefs. All right, it's not week-to-week with Green Bay. Davis, the Packers are going nowhere. You know, Christian Watson, maybe the most talented player without a quarterback at all, I'm sorry to say, 11 receptions on the season. Now, I know he got a late start to the year. We got to factor that in. But only one touchdown, 24 targets. The Packers' offense is unwatchable. I'm sitting with Aaron Jones on my team. I don't even know how I can play this guy anymore. I don't even think it's his fault, by the way. I Aaron Jones could not fall off this bad from last year to this year. It's not possible. A.J. Dillon doesn't look good either. The Packers are kind of sad. Like, they're one of those teams, Davis, that if they had to do it all over again, knowing what they know now, you tell me, Davis, would they try to go 2-15 this year and get the top pick in the draft? Because they must start over. I know Packers fans are not going to want to hear that, but they're in that middle ground where some teams in sports, Davis, they don't rebuild. The Packers tend to be one of those teams ever since Brett Favre came to town. It looks like they need a rebuild to me, man.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're kind of like the Miami Heat, right? Where it's like, you know, we don't tear down. We just find a way to win again. I think there are a couple things. I mean, one, Jordan Love just like is not that guy. So there are any cracks that could be papered over don't really seem to be there. Christian Watson, I mean, his ADP was so bizarre to me. I never, you know, I don't like love Christian Watson. He wasn't a guy I was like excited to draft, but I ended up drafting quite a bit of him just because of where he was in drafts. He is, ever since he came back from his hamstring injury, he's playing a lot. He is getting the targets. I mean, he saw 8 freaking targets against Minnesota. He just could not corral any of them, only caught 3 passes for 33 yards. This is a guy I would bench. This, like Rashee Rice, I'm playing Rashee Rice over Christian Watson just because I have so little faith, so little belief in the Packers offense. Like, I'm looking for reasons to not play him as much as possible.
All right, let's go over to the running backs and focus on a guy that you and I were both very bullish on, but was an absolute disaster. But he's back, Darrell Henderson. He's a running back on the Rams again. He's actually looked pretty good. I don't even know how this is happening. Now, I don't know, Davis. Like, the quarterback situation with the Rams may be rough this week. Well, like, I mean, I guess this is just like a break glass in case of emergency situation with Henderson. What is the running back health status of the rest of these guys on the team too?
Kyren is going to come back after their bye week. Ronnie Rivers, I think it sounds like he's further away. I mean, look, if you lucked out and you picked up Daryl Henderson for free the week where everyone bid $1 billion on Zach Evans, I mean, how are you sitting him? He plays about 60% of the snaps. He gets a couple targets. If they get down to the 1 yard line, he's going to get a chance to score. I think, and what's crazy is you might look at this Rams offense and be like, oh, Brett Ripien, Daryl Henderson, like they don't even have in the bottom five team totals of the entire week. That is the context we are at in the NFL right now. I think he's like a top 20-ish running back with a fine flex play. I think you're probably starting to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Daryl Henderson, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, to think Daryl Henderson is now a starter again in fantasy football after falling off the fantasy map, kind of crazy. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Can't wait to do it with you. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's put up or shut up time in terms of trade, Davis. You know, you're sending off trade messages and targets, looking at your team, seeing if you can get better. You're probably sitting there two games over, two games under. There's somebody watching right now, Davis. They're like, how did you know I'm two games over? Or how did you know I'm two games under? Because we're all in parity in this world of fantasy football. Davis illustrated it best at the top of the show. No one is undefeated. Nobody's lost all their games. There's just been too many issues and injuries and bye weeks. And so this is it. This is the time to maybe look at some players that you can maybe get better or maybe even, you know, parlay some players to trade. Let's start off with the situation in Arizona, which is as murky as it gets. Look, the Cardinals do not, I hate to say it like this because I don't like to talk about professional teams like this, Davis, but the Cardinals do not want to win. It's as simple as that. They do not want to put their team in the best position to win. Once the game begins, the players want to win. There's no such thing as a tanking player. They're all playing for their lives. They're playing for their livelihood. But the Cardinals organization would like to chase down the first pick in the draft if they can, or the second. And they're right on pace to do so. So they've traded Josh Dobbs. They've got Tune. They've got Kyler Murray coming back eventually. They kept Marquise Brown, who has four touchdowns on the season because Josh Dobbs has been capable. And Wilson on the other side for Arizona has been capable too. 38 receptions, 69 targets, 419 receiving yards. But it is impossible to predict the future. And Davis, the other thing that I see with Arizona as well, by the way, they've been super competitive, a lot more than anyone thought. But Davis, if Hollywood Brown has a pinky that don't feel good, he's going on IR, man. Like, I'm just a little worried to invest anything on this team now that they've gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, we were fun, we played competitive. They just traded the guy who started 8 games for them. So I really don't know what to expect the rest of the season. Is Marquise Brown a buy? Is he a sell? Is he a hold?
I think he's probably a buy because I think that Kyler Murray's got a decent chance to play, some percentage of chance to play in week 9 and like almost 100% chance to play in week 10. He will be activated from his 21-day practice window. And, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of people have opinions about Kyler Murray. I think very few of them are reflective of how good he has been as an NFL quarterback. I mean, outside of his rookie year where Cliff was his coach, I mean, he has got a winning record as an NFL quarterback outside of that season, and that was even with the nightmare last year. He's a good rusher. He completes 70% of his passes. He doesn't really throw very many interceptions. Like, he is I mean, I'm not going to call him like the greatest quarterback in NFL history. I think you can win with Kyler Murray, you know, kind of the same way you can win with Lamar. Like, you don't stick Lamar in the air raid and expect him to be the best at that. But I think you can win 12 games a year with Kyler as your quarterback. And I think my assumption would be the person who owns Hollywood Brown in your league is probably so sick of him. He's had, you know, a bunch of weeks with like total air balls. Obviously, he's had some blow up weeks as well. But he would be an example of a guy. I love trading for guys who I think are good, but who have been frustrating. And I think he is like one of the best examples of it. So I would trade for Hollywood Brown.
All right. So Hollywood Brown is a buy. Now, DeAndre Hopkins did not have the game that he had the previous game. And I would also add that we're about to take a look at some numbers for DeAndre Hopkins this season that were all in one game. Basically, when it comes down to the Will Levis debut, 31 receptions. This is on the season, 3 touchdowns, all in one game, 504 receiving yards on 53 targets. And, you know, this is the hard one, Davis, because I think personally that on name value, and clearly the performance, even though Thursday night didn't go very well or as well as maybe he wanted it to, I think you're going to have a hard time acquiring DeAndre Hopkins from someone. I think that whoever has him is going to look at this like, hey, like, this is Levis's guy. He still can play. I'm not doing it. And on the sell side, I think you're going to have a hard time replacing a wide receiver too, like Hopkins too. So I don't know. What kind of deal would this look like even?
Yeah, to me, this is the classic example of a guy you'd love to buy, but the guy who drafted him is for sure not going to sell him for what he's worth. I mean, one, his name is DeAndre Hopkins. Two weeks ago, he did just have the best game of his season. He did have 7 for 60. I mean, he's got a bunch of targets. He's got 64 targets through 8 games. He's had a couple 100-yard games. Like, he has been, also, he's like had a couple near misses as well. There was that flea flicker that Tannehill threw to him that just, he almost had like a 60-yard touchdown, just slipped out of his hands. So sure, in a vacuum, I would say absolutely, you know, try and ship out a running back that maybe you're not starting, you know, for DeAndre Hopkins. But the reality is, the person who has him is just gonna, like, they're just not selling. They're especially not selling because Tennessee's kind of, now they're like kind of exciting, right? Beginning of the season, no one's excited about the Titans. They're boring. You know exactly what they're going to do. Now they've got Levis throwing darts, running around, making plays. Like, you just got to read the room. And I think the room is going to be too high on Hopkins to, you know, make him available in a trade.
All right. So Hopkins could be just a hold for both. Now, the Washington Commanders kind of waved the white flag a little, I thought, after their very narrow loss to Philadelphia. Look, that score did not indicate, I mean, Washington easily could have won that game, but the reason why they didn't is Sam Howell made a critical mistake down the stretch. But make no mistake about it, Sam Howell is startable in fantasy. He has been throwing like crazy, Davis, like first down, second down, constantly. And McLaurin and Dotson, I mean, maybe these are two guys to get for the stretch run here. Although Dotson has 30 receptions and just 2 touchdowns, 291 receiving yards. I would guess Washington's probably playing from behind a lot, but I suppose the issue with Howell, Davis, is one out of every 2 or 3 starts he has been a definitive clunker, like a 180 and 3 picks. And so, can I see Dotson starting for me on a playoff team? I'm not sure I can.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to be buoyed in the short term due to the fact that Curtis Samuel is going to be out with this toe injury. If I know Curtis Samuel, and I do know Curtis Samuel, a 1-week absence from a toe injury might turn into he's out for the rest of the year on the IR. That would obviously be good for him. It was Jahan Dotson's most targets of the year against Philadelphia, 8 for 108 and 1 on 10 targets. I mean, look, I actually really thought Jahan Dotson was very good as a rookie. I drafted a lot of him in all these best ball drafts. Again, I think you're running into the same problem, though. he would have been a great buy low a week ago. You could have gotten Jahan Dotson for nothing. Jahan Dotson might have been dropped in your league, you know, 2 weeks ago or something, because he was coming off of a run of one target, zero catches, zero receptions against Atlanta, 5 for 43 against the Giants. Like, just absolutely brutal stretch there. Now he's coming off his best game of the year. The Commanders are actually favored in a game. You know, it's like, it's just kind of all running against you. Now, what I would say is if you could ship out, you know, one of these running backs you've picked up, so DeMercado, Daryl Henderson, any of the Bears guys, Dante Foreman, if you could trade any of them for Jahan Dotson, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, the Commanders are 15 points down in every single game. Sam Howell's dropping back. He's second in the NFL in dropbacks per game behind only Gardner Minshew. I think there's a pretty good chance that Dotson ends up being a starter down the stretch.
All right, now let's move over to the running back position, where James Cook has been a borderline RB1 for most of the season. He's lost some goal line carries to Latavius Murray. And Davis, I guess the question while we're talking about Cook here is that for whatever reason, the Buffalo Bills brought in playoff Lenny. So Leonard Fournette has been added to the Buffalo Bills. Now, he may not play this week and he may not play next week, but what does this signing really mean? And Davis, if you have Cook right now, he's probably irreplaceable at running back. Let's be honest. It's just not somebody you're going to have to make a trade for another running back, maybe with some upside to get him back. But is there any concern here that Fournette like has a role even on Buffalo and reduces Cook by, I don't know, a target a game and three carries? Because if so, maybe this is the sell time.
Well, it's tough. I think James Cook is very talented. I've been sort of surprised by the Bills' insistence on using Latavius Murray, on using Damian Harris before he got injured. But what's clear is that there are certain roles in the game that the Bills just do not trust James Cook in. Short yardage, goal line, really even some on third downs. They've been using Latavius Murray. I think what signing Leonard Fournette is about is saying, well, come on, Latavius Murray, like, he's 33 years old. He just does not have the juice. So we're going to bring Fournette in. What you would be concerned about would be that, okay, Fournette takes Latavius's snaps, but what if he does good on those snaps? Oh, he's a big bodied guy. He's fumbling. He's playoff Lenny. He's Lombardi Lenny. He's playoff Lenny. And then all of a sudden James Cook is just Nyheim Hines. However, it's like Lenny off the couch. Has this guy been working out? What kind of shape is he in? I would like to bet against that archetype of player and bet on the James Cook archetype. And again, talking about these frustrating guys, there's got to be plenty of fantasy managers out there who are saying, oh, freaking great. Leonard Fournette's coming in. He's taking away all my touchdowns. I can't have this. I'm not going to be able to start James Cook. I bet. Cook is pretty gettable in fantasy football right now. So again, I would put him on the trade for list.
All right. Finally, I'm off this one here. Now, I know we talked about him in the offseason and I drafted him, but Damian Pierce, I love him because he's a Gator. Davis, I don't think he's the answer at running back for Houston. And I know he's RB32, which means that he's like borderline playable, but I've watched his games, Davis. He cannot score on the goal line. He's had a lot of problems doing it. They're now handing it off to the fullback. Singletary is getting more carries. If somebody wants to buy Damian Pierce from me, I'll sell him.
Well, and he's injured right now. Devin Singletary is going to start this week. He's got an ankle injury. It might happen for him eventually. It's not happening this year. Don't trade for Damian Pierce.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, we'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today next. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. You want to make $1 million this week? Well, let's try and help you get there. Davis and Craig back with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. Get out the DraftKings app. We're going to go through some pricing this week in daily fantasy and see if you're entering a tournament or a cash game, if there is a player or two that we could recommend that would help you. So without further ado, let's get right into it and take a look at the quarterback position in fantasy. We got Lamar Jackson priced at $8,200. Right there at the top, he's had a fantastic year for the Ravens. They just keep winning, and he keeps playing well. Jalen Hurts, Philly, plays Dallas this week. Hurts, I don't know if he's 100% healthy, Davis, if you believe that or not, but it doesn't seem that way. And then, boy, what a drop-off to Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. That total is high in that game. Is there a chance, Davis, that Prescott is priced a little bit too low this week? Let's get into it.
Well, this is where we have to begin. I've been doing this for a long time, Craig. I've basically been on DraftKings and FanDuel for as long as they have existed. I've been in the daily fantasy streets. This truly might be the worst and lowest scoring main slate of NFL DFS I've ever seen, because all of those great teams, the Bills, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, they are all in primetime games. So we're going to have a great 14-hour day of football, lots of great games. I think the actual football will be fine, but a lot of these bad quarterbacks, you know, the Aiden O'Connells, the Jaren Halls, the Clayton Tunes, we are getting all of them, you know, on the main slate of games. So Lamar, I mean, he is going to be mega owned, probably the most owned that he has been of the entire season. I also think you're right about Jalen Hurts. He's got 27 yards rushing the last 2 weeks. He had 6 rushing yards last week, 21 rushing yards the week before. However, I mean, A.J. Brown is just so good right now, and Devonta Smith too, 7 for 99 and 1 last week, that Jalen Hurts is still an elite fantasy option, especially in the context of this slate, even without the rushing. I mean, obviously the rushing helps. And then on the other side of that game, Dak Prescott, best game of the year last week. I have always been more of a Dak believer than the consensus, but these are the 3 highest projected options. I assume any given contest on DraftKings, you know, any tournament where we're trying to take first place, these guys are going to take up 40 to 50% of the total quarterback pool. So what I would say is that if you have a lean this week, listeners of Fantasy Sports Today, if you really like Derek Carr this week against the Chicago Bears, if you really like CJ Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell, you know, pairing those guys together, I would say ride that opinion and just go hard on it, because you're going to get great ownerships on all of them. And if one of these guys fails, if Gus Edwards scores 3 1-yard touchdowns like he did last week, I mean, that's 20% of the field wiped out right there, which I think it provides a huge amount of leverage. My thought would be I like Lamar the most, then Dak, then Hurts, just based on what I expect them to be owned and who you would pair them with.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, Davis makes a really good point. I didn't even think of it. I thought this was going to be a great slate. And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, wait a second. Chiefs, Dolphins in the morning, Bills, Bengals, not in the afternoon. So, yeah, I guess he's right. So we got to look at some other options. Okay, let's go to running back. The perplexing case of Bijan Robinson and the Atlanta Falcons. 6,100, you would say, wow, what a great price for Bijan Robinson. If he plays, like, we just don't know. Tony Pollard back on the map again. I don't know, Davis. I think you're pounding this drum too hard on Pollard at this point. I'm starting to lose faith. Saquon Barkley, he is the entire offense of the Giants, although Daniel Jones will be back. I guess that's why they priced him at 7,900, maybe not knowing early on in the week. And yeah, Chuba Hubbard for Carolina. It was announced that he is starting again this week for the Carolina Panthers. I guess they're saying they're going to mix in several running backs, but Miles Sanders has been a non-factor, and Hubbard's been pretty good, so that does make some sense to me.
All right. Well, the first thing, again, you're going to realize about this slate is we do have Saquon Barkley, and we do have Alvin Kamara. Kamara is the most expensive he's been all year. He's up at 8,100. I slightly prefer Barkley at 7,900 with Daniel Jones back. Saquon Barkley, Craig, got 41 touches last week, 36 rushes, 5 targets, only caught 3 of them, 5 targets for 0 yards, by the way. That is just so much volume. It's very hard for me to look past it. After that, after those two, I think you have like legitimate concerns about the workload for all of these guys. I mean, I guess you don't have any concerns about Tony Pollard's workload. He's been, you know, 80, 85% of the snaps for the Cowboys, but the guys, he's just freaking Joe Mixon now. I mean, Tony Pollard is just now turned into the running backs that I hate, Craig. He's Josh Jacobs. He's Joe Mixon. He's Najee Harris. He's Ezekiel Elliott, where he's got no burst, no efficiency. It's all just about total volume. He's down at 6,400, the least expensive he has been all year long. It's a little strategy we refer to in the gambling world as martingaling, which is just that if you keep doubling down every time you lose, eventually you have to get back to even, assuming that your stash doesn't go to zero. So I am martingaling Tony Pollard a little bit here. I think that, I mean, he is going to play about 80% of the snaps. He's going to get some work in the passing game. The guy I am most bullish on is going to be Bijan Robinson in this game against the Minnesota Vikings. I think not only are the Falcons favored, I think they cover that spread. And to the credit of Arthur Smith, and Craig, you know I don't ever want to give Arthur Smith any credit, he did actually rectify the mistake of Bijan's, you know, the headache problem from 2 weeks ago. He actually played a season high in snaps last week. They were trailing in that game, so it didn't amount to anything. But he got 11 rushes, obviously averaged over 5 yards per carry because he's Bijan Robinson and he's incredible. 5 targets in the passing game. He's 6,100. I actually think, Craig, that people have now put Bijan in the Drake London, Kyle Pitts bucket, where they just hate him because they hate Arthur Smith. They're like, oh, I'm never taking Kyle Pitts. I'm never taking Drake London. I'm never taking Bijan Robinson because Arthur Smith is just going to jerk me around. But I don't think that is 100% true with Bijan. I think he is a crucial part of their game plan, and I think he scores 20 or more fantasy points this week.
Okay, let's go to wide receiver here. We got some value picks, and then I want to make a point about one player here on this list. But let's start off with the cheap option. That's Demario Douglas. Look, New England is out of it. And if Bill Belichick wants to see anything for next season, it is time to give this kid more of a look. Terry McLaurin, 5,600. Nico Collins has been solid at 5,800. A.J. Brown, 8,600. Chris Olave, 6,300. Davis, I am sold. I think A.J. Brown next year is going to be the number one or number two pick in fantasy drafts. This guy is uncoverable. He catches every single ball thrown his way. McCaffrey maybe end up number one next year, but if this trend continues, I mean, I know Tyreek Hill's going to have 2,000 yards and all that stuff. I want A.J. Brown on all my fantasy teams, so I want him on my DFS team this week. Unstoppable player in the NFL.
He is completely unstoppable. There's no question about it. I think this is the first time ever, again, talking about doing this for a long time, I don't think A.J. Brown has ever been the highest projected skill position player on a main NFL DFS slate, but he is this week, projected for more points than Cooper Kupp, projected for more points than Devontae Adams. I've got no issue with it. I think A.J. Brown is pretty much the best play of the entire slate. Demario Douglas, I mean, everyone around the New England Patriots since rookie minicamp has been saying Demario Douglas is the best wide receiver on the team, made the roster as a UDFA. They did draft Kayshon Booty. He's been active over him. And when Demario Douglas has played this year, he missed a couple weeks with an injury. He has drawn targets when he has been on the field. His very first NFL game was that come from behind effort against the Patriots. He saw 7 targets in that game. He missed week 6 with an injury, came back 6 targets against Buffalo, 7 targets against Miami. They even have given him a couple rushes, which is something that Belichick has always done with these younger players. That was actually Tyquan Thornton's first NFL touchdown last season. But the Patriots wide receivers, they're a mess. Devontae Parker out, Smith-Schuster coming back from an injury, Kendrick Bourne out for the rest of the year with the torn ACL. It's just a mess. Demario Douglas is going to be super, super popular at 4,000, probably the most owned wide receiver on DraftKings this weekend, but I don't really have an argument against it. I think he is about the safest 10 points you were going to find around that salary range. We talked about the Commanders a little bit in the last segment. Curtis Samuel out for this game. Both McLaurin and Dotson, I think, are going to be fairly popular. I think they are both very strong plays against the Patriots. They are going to, you know, combine for 50% or so of the team's targets. I think it is pretty good. Nico Collins, one of my favorite plays last week, didn't really get there, only 4 for 30 against Carolina. He's been awesome this year, 600 yards and 3 touchdowns. I've been very, very impressed by CJ Stroud. I think that Stroud has come in and immediately looked like he probably should have been the number one overall pick. And it looks like, yeah, the Texans did make a disaster of a trade for Will Anderson. It was pretty stupid to give up what's probably going to end up being like the 5th or 6th pick in the NFL draft. But I mean, all you need is a quarterback, Craig. It's really, if you have the quarterback, you can make a lot of mistakes and they can kind of paper over them. And I think that's where the Texans are headed. And then I did really want to mention Chris Olave here, because we are now entering into the range where people are sick of Chris Olave. They're sick of playing him every single week. He gets a bazillion targets. You know, he's got more games with 11 or more targets than games with 11 or fewer, a couple hundred yard games, only one touchdown on the year. He's had a couple bad drops. You've started a Chris Olave, you've used him in DFS, and then had to watch Taysom Hill score 1 yard touchdowns, watch Rashid Shaheed get a billion yards on like four targets. Olave, $6,300 against the Bears. I'm predicting a super breakout here. I think Olave has a chance to be the highest scoring player of the entire slate. I'm going to predict he scores one really long touchdown in this game.
All right, so go with Olave, of course, this weekend. Now, Davis last week on the show was like, you got to play this guy, Trey McBride. I'm like, what? Who? 2,500? Who's that guy? He was right. Wow, Trey McBride had a great game last week. And by the way, 3,700, we went up 1,000 on DraftKings, still playable. Mark Andrews, 6,800. And there is honestly a chance, how sad is this, Davis, that Daniel Bellinger is better than Darren Waller. I think there is a real chance that this guy plays better than Waller the rest of the season.
Oh, I mean, Darren Waller doesn't care, man. Darren Waller is just like, I made a lot of bad picks in my life, but like buying up on Darren Waller as the fourth tight end in fantasy feels terribly bad. Yeah, so bad. But Daniel Bellinger, I mean, look, is Daniel Bellinger a special player you really want to be investing in the New York Giants passing game? No, not really. But Bellinger had a couple opportunities last year where he was playing all the snaps. He played 99% of the snap, or he played 94% of the snaps or more in four separate games. You know, he averaged about 3.5 receptions and 30 yards and half a touchdown in those games. If you get 9 points from Bellinger at minimum salary, you feel pretty good about it. McBride, we like. Mark Andrews is going to be super popular. Everyone is going to want to play Mark Andrews with Lamar this week, which they should. Mark Andrews has been phenomenal for the second best tight end in fantasy behind only Travis Kelce. And again, this is a slate without Travis Kelce. It just means that a lot of that ownership is going to flow there. And then McBride, I mean, you know, he had the most expected points of any tight end in a game last week. I think you got to buy on that a little bit.
Yeah, great game. Good call by you last week here on the show. All right, coming up next, we wrap up this first hour, but we got another hour to go. And you know what we do. If you watch the show, we're going to go through every game in the National Football League. We'll break them all down, who to start, who to sit. And we'll do that for you coming up next. This is Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We got another hour to go. Here's what we have in store for you. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at Week 9, go game by game, team by team, player by player. We'll mention the player that you're thinking about starting or sitting this week. We're going to do that because we go over every game. We got Fantasy Reality. We got the Sports Grid 60. So get ready for that. Get ready for, of course, more fantasy discussion. And Davis, it's, you know, they say that the football season goes by too fast. I cannot believe there's only like three or four college football games left in this football season, and that's it. And most people are going to know their fantasy football destiny over the next week or two. Like, I think there's a large portion that'll be 6-7, 7-6 going into the end. But you kind of know where you are right now. And by the end of this week, I think you'll have a much better indication.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you lose this week, if you're kind of on the borderline this week and you lose this week, it might be like, well, don't know if I'm going to do waivers next week. Cause like most leagues, week 9 is the trade deadline week. And then after that, it's shut down. I know I've been, you know, I've been working my imaginary phone lines over here, trying to improve some of my teams. It's like, my longtime home league with my buddies, I have a very good team that has run into about every dumb bad luck thing. You know, Devin Achane on IR, T. Higgins tossing up zero burgers, Tony Pollard in the second round, like just absolutely brutal. So I've been trying to fortify that. But yeah, I'm wishing everyone who watches fantasy sports today very good luck this weekend, because I know that this is like probably the most crucial regular season week in terms of determining who gets in and who gets out.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I'm in one league, I believe I'm 3-5. Another league is hard to quantify because we play two games each week, and I'm right there. My team is good. I have McCaffrey. But yeah, like going 3-6 to start the season in fantasy tells you where I could potentially be at. Okay, coming up next, it's time for us to go game by game. We'll look at all the players, all the teams, all the fantasy numbers that you could possibly ask for. That's hour two of Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next here on Sports Grid. Don't go away. We'll be right back.